Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found at www.winbridge.org. Our guests tonight are Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant and research medium Janet Mayer. And if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guests, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. And how is your day so far, Bob?
Well, the day is going well. I'm actually glad to be home again. We were out in San Francisco and Reno and Lake Tahoe. And it was all in 4 or 5 days, right, where we gone. But the highlight was the reason for our trip out there is we had the opportunity, both Fran and I, to sit with physical medium Kaya Mugi. And my head's still spinning. I'm trying to digest it and make some sense out of what we both experienced. And that'll be the subject of another show.
Next week.
Next week, or I don't know if next week. Yeah,
September.
But we will be discussing, you know, what we experienced, and it was, I won't get into it, but it was quite an amount of physical phenomena that went on there. So we can talk more about that in depth, and certainly welcome your calls when we do those shows. Incidentally, I also wanted to mention, you know, we're putting together. Well, you know, we had once put together a little mini guide, but we're doing a more expanded version of questions that people have about mediumship. And we welcome, if you have any specific questions, maybe about the process of mediumship or what goes on, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what you shouldn't say and you should say during a reading, what to look out for in terms of mediums that may not be legitimate, write us an email, and we'll incorporate that into this compilation that we're putting together. And you can send those to radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. So you have a story there that we wanted to talk about a couple weeks ago, A Message in a Bottle.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. You were just filling me in.
It's very interesting. There was a young girl named, and I hope I say her name right, Sydney Ferry. And as a young girl, she spent every summer on Long Island in New York, hosted by a family in Patchogue. And in the year of 2001, she and two other girls went out to the Great South Bay with little ginger ale bottles and paper, and they wrote messages and put them inside the bottle and tossed it out to sea into the Atlantic Ocean, for those of you who are not really good in geography. And one bottle out of the three made its way back a few months later to a beachfront community just a few miles away. But none of the other bottles ever showed up until this past December, while they were doing a Sandy cleanup after Superstorm Sandy. One of the men who was working on that, named Brian Waldron, came across this bottle and opened it up and thought it was a joke when he read the message, which was an interesting message in and of itself. It says, "Be excellent to yourself, dude." And it comes from a movie which is termed as a 1989 science fiction comedy. Some people might remember it, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And in it, Sydney also included her telephone number, which when Brian found the bottle, decided it was a joke, but would call the number anyway. He called the number, and as it turns out, this girl had died at the age of 18. Now, she threw that bottle in the water. She was 10 years old. She died at 18, and now it was 2 years later that the bottle was discovered by this gentleman. He did not expect anything because he really thought it was a joke. And as it turns out, her mom, Mimi, was still living at the same residence in Manhattan. And interestingly enough, they had been planning a memorial for Sydney out in Patchogue to kind of make her or her memory or her spirit a permanent resident of Patchogue. So this whole thing kind of came together at the right time. And when this guy Brian arranged with Mimi, because she really desperately wanted that bottle with the message in it, so he arranged not only for her to get the bottle, but he filled a second bottle with sand from the site that he collected the bottle in. And this is what he said. "I said to her that I really feel that your daughter was looking down on us, wanting us to find the bottle, and wanted us to give you a call." So everything kind of synchronistically worked together.
Yeah, it's a nice story, and it also makes you ponder once again, you know, whether people in spirit can orchestrate these events. They seem so unlikely when you look at it, you know, what are the chances? You know, it was also, doing the math, I think it was 10th year anniversary.
10th year anniversary. And not only that, remember, there's one more bottle out there. So the big question is, will that too show up at a significant time?
I wouldn't bet against it. Well, so many people live their lives that way, you know, that when everything that's put before them, they feel that, you know, is put before them, you know, for a purpose. Some people take to the extreme, you know, but and others, you know, not so much. But I think we all have this, whether we admit it or not, we all have this feeling, this inner feeling, often that things are happening for a reason. You know, I mean, do you find that as well?
Well, my own philosophy is if my intent when I set out to do something doesn't turn out that way, I will always reflect on the past situation as having been predetermined that it needed to happen the way it did and not the way I planned for it to happen. So that's a way of kind of letting go and accepting that you can't live for anything other than the moment that you're in at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that in you. I mean, even in stressful situations. So first you can't help it, you know, you let out your emotions, you know, but then after you have time to contemplate on it, then you usually come to the conclusion that this negative thing happened, you know, I don't know whether you would call it a teaching tool, but
no,
for a specific purpose.
Yeah, it's purposeful, yeah. Is what it is. And it may not have a direct purpose to me. I'm just maybe in the chain of a bunch of events that happened because that thing happened differently than I planned, and that it's there to benefit somebody else somewhere down the road.
It's also somewhat of a relief to some people when they can throw up their hands and not take responsibility for things. when they say, well, it wasn't me, this was fated, or this was, you know, the universe at work and I had no control over it. That could be a little dangerous.
Kind of, yeah, and that's kind of going, because we do live in a society where we have to blame everything on everybody rather than just accept that it happened, so let's move on.
We are going to go to a break. We have, as Fran mentioned, two interesting guests. One is Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant, and the other is Janet Mayer, who you may be familiar with. Janet Mayer is a research medium. We'll be interviewing her and Dr. Jeff, you know, tonight in her capacity as an author and taking part in research. She's not going to be doing readings.
No, but for those people who are listening to her and honoring her as an author tonight and a research medium tonight, she will be on again in September on mediums and messages, and she will be taking calls for readings.
For readings, then. During our regular mediums and messages show. So we're going to take our break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Don't miss Forever Family Foundation's 7th Annual Conference Weekend, November 9th and 10th, this year in warm and sunny San Diego, California. In Search of the Afterlife, Experiencing, Communicating, Connecting to Another World, is designed for general audiences interested in learning about evidence of an afterlife. Attendees will be treated to cutting-edge presentations of evidence that we survive our physical deaths, as well as demonstrations of spirit communication by certified mediums. Add on the optional Friday night fundraiser dinner featuring medium Kim Russo, host of The Haunting of TV show, and stay an extra day for Medium Monday. For more information, visit www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Our guests tonight are Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant and research medium Janet Mayer. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found at www.winbridge.org. Bob?
On the Janet Mayer, for those who have yet to come across her path, she's a former research medium. She not only practices evidential mediumship, but for reasons not yet known, she suddenly began speaking the ancient language of the Yanomami, a tribe that still exists in the Amazon today. She is the author of Spirits, They Are Present, and her website is janetmayer.net. Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant is a psychologist who became very interested in the way the brain behaves during meditative states and non-ordinary states of consciousness. He's worked with healers and mediums in this work, and he's been continuing his research with Janet Mayer for about a year as she conducts mediumship and speaks the ancient language. Dr. Tarrant's website is Dr. Jeff Tarrant, TARRANT.com. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Bob.
Hi. And Janet, I'd like to start with you. I mean, certainly it's not every medium that agrees to take part in brain research. I mean, you have. So what's your motivation? Well, I mean, why were you motivated to have your brain studied and work with Dr. Tarrant in this kind of work?
Well, I think mainly it started because I'm kind of always after some kind of proof that there's something going on, and if we can show other people that there's something more than just the average person can experience, then if you work with the brain and something shows up, then that has to tell you that there's something else going on besides the normal. And I thought, well, you know, why not try this? Maybe, you know, there'll be proof, maybe not, maybe we don't really understand it, but if we can show that there's something happening, then, you know, that kind of validates for me too, and I'm always looking for more. I guess that's the best way to put it. I want to know more what's going on. Why is this language coming through? Can we prove, you know, a reason why or how it's coming through? Does it show up in some way? And so I thought, well, you know, I'm willing to try it to see if anything happens, and if nothing happens, then we know, and if something happens, then it's going to show up.
Mm. And I mean, you questioned even before the language. I know from prior conversations with you. I mean, you, as is the case with a number of mediums, you were always questioning why you could do mediumship, why you were able to talk to the dead. So I guess the language is just an extension of your search, right?
Right. Oh, definitely. I mean, I've always felt like that all my life. I felt like there was always someone around, or there's something going on that's more than just, you know, what I was brought up learning. And so it's kind of like, okay, well, what is it? Can we find out what it is? Can we grasp it somehow? You know, is there some way to figure this out? And, you know, so I was kind of up for any kind of, you know, test or medium, you know, with the brainwaves, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and Dr. Tarrant, I mean, I'll ask you along the same lines, you know, what inspired you to study brain patterns and extraordinary abilities? I mean, was there something in your non-professional life that triggered this, or just a professional curiosity?
Good question. I think I've pretty much always been interested in, you know, any kind of psychic phenomena, and from the time I was a young child, and you know, my interest in biofeedback and neurofeedback and brainwave activity was really a totally separate thing. I was just doing that as a professional type of treatment, working with individual clients, and on the side I would read and study about various psychic kinds of things and whatever I could get my hands on, really, but really never had a way to combine the two things. And then mysteriously Janet entered my life. So the opportunity sort of presented itself. I had worked with some other healers and some people of that nature, and just out of curiosity, just wanting to see, hey, what's going on, and was fortunate enough to, have acquaintances who were engaged in different kinds of healing practices and different kinds of meditative practices. And so, you know, having an opportunity to look at it, read the literature, but then also look in a hands-on way at, you know, how do people's brain waves change, or how are they altered when they enter into some other sort of state. And working with Janet has been very interesting because it's quite a bit different than some of the other work I've done. Most of the other work I've done with other healers or people in different types of meditations, they're intentionally in an altered state of consciousness. I don't know that I would always call it a trance, although sometimes maybe it gets close to that, but that's not really the case with Janet. So she's a bit atypical, and with the folks that I've had the opportunity to work with so far.
Well, I can vouch for that. Janet certainly is atypical.
thank you. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, in a sense, Dr. Tarrant, you're a little bit off the hook, I guess you get fewer raised eyebrows from your colleagues when you tell them about your work, because it's not so much that you have to discuss altered states of consciousness and spiritual things. I mean, you're simply doing brainwave patterns, right?
Exactly.
So it's a little bit easier to digest. Janet, a lot of people, I mentioned before that you were a research medium, which means that you took place in mediumship research, I know, at the University of Arizona. And a lot of people have the misconception that spirit communication must be done in person. In other words, the sitter has to be in the same physical location as the medium. And yet, when you were doing research at the University of Arizona, you were rarely, if ever, in the same place as the sitters, were you? I mean,
Right. I never met any of the sitters. I would always do this by phone. And it mainly for me, and really with the research is, you know, you have to know what you're doing and you have to be able to go in and connect, you know, with the spirit world. And you don't know who you're going to be reading. And it was all done by phone. So, you know, I never saw really anybody that I read for. And I mean, that was, you know, not, I guess that's, you know, for somebody who thinks that you have to do that all the time, I would honestly say no. You know, my clients, I do phone readings. And for me, that works out a lot better, mainly because it takes away the emotion of seeing them. I don't get any cues when I look, you know, I don't look at anyone, so I can't pick up any cues. It's just everything is really clear, or I basically look at a wall, and I kind of go into a meditative state, and then I write down everything I receive. So I never even see my clients, very seldom. So, you know, that's just how I personally work. And most mediums, I think, probably, you know, a lot of them do work, you know, face-to-face, but a lot of them do it by phone.
Right. And you know, from the researcher's perspective, the way that you do it by phone or by email, whatever, is a lot more evidential because, as you just described, it eliminates the possibility that you're picking up body language clues. So I guess the message is for all those who believe that somehow the information will not be as strong if you're not sitting directly in front of the medium, it's time to change your way of thinking.
Right. Well, and I think it's more validating, like you said, because I don't know anything about them. So I can just sit there, and everything that I receive, I usually, you know, I write it down. And then when I talk to the, you know, person that I'm reading, the client, it feels like it's more evidential because they have no clue what I, you know, receive. They haven't said a word to me beforehand. I don't talk to them beforehand. So until I'm on the phone with them at that moment, you know, they're getting everything I have received. So to me, I like to work that way because it's better for me. I don't have any clues of so-and-so past or this or that. So, you know, that's my personal, you know, preference.
And I do know that from watching you work that sometimes, as you just alluded to, you get information for a sitter or a group of sitters well in advance of your meeting with them. So that's somewhat unusual, isn't it? I mean, among your colleagues?
I don't know exactly. I would think so. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody works differently, but I think a lot of people, you know, we all go into a meditative state beforehand, but for me, I feel more comfortable having written information down before I give it to them. And I've even, one of the conferences I did, I think in Connecticut, I had gotten information like 6 months before the conference. I wrote down some information, and then the day of the conference, I was told where to go. The very first person I was supposed to read, I remember I was supposed to go to the left and go right to this woman. And that's what I did, and all I could think of is I hope there was a woman sitting there because that's what I had. And sure enough, it played out exactly how it was supposed to, which, you know, always kind of surprises me, even though I trust the process and I know it works that way. It's still really fascinating the way it can come through. It doesn't always come through the exact same way, but I have to trust it. And, you know, and it is. It's interesting.
Yeah. And I guess a question for Dr. Tarrant. If the work shows that, you know, that mediums consistently exhibit, you know, specific types of brain patterns that you can readily identify, what does that mean? I mean, where do you go from there? I mean, can we use that knowledge for any practical purposes, like for the non-mediums? Do you think that we can study these things and teach people to be intuitive?
Boy, that's a That's a really interesting question, and it does tie in with some of my professional work, because a lot of what I do professionally is use the brainwave activity to teach people how to alter their brainwaves. But usually it's we do that purposely to help people who are struggling with anxiety or depression or ADHD or something like that, where, you know, it could be beneficial if they could shift their brainwaves in a specific way. But it raises some interesting questions. You know, could you train people to increase or decrease certain activity in certain parts of their brain that have shown up, for mediums or people who are engaged in other kinds of exceptional abilities? And I don't know the answer to that. My gut tells me that it probably doesn't work like that, that you probably can't just train it that way. And the reason I say that is because the brain's very complicated, and even if we consistently had a pattern that showed up among every medium I ever looked at, which I don't think is what's going to happen, but even if that did happen, I think the brain's complicated enough that even if I tried to teach people how to replicate that same pattern, it doesn't necessarily mean that they would, you know, all of a sudden have the same ability. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah,
but
does.
You know, there's lots of different. The brain can take information and do lots of things with it. So, at this point, I actually don't expect that I will find an entirely consistent pattern. I think there are going to be some things that are going to be consistent, and I think there's going to be a lot of variability between individuals. And I think it gets to some of what you were just talking about with Janet, that everybody has, a slightly different way that they approach this and that it works for them.
Mm.
And everybody's different. Even beyond that, everybody's a different person. And so I don't expect that it's going to show up exactly the same.
Yeah, and you mentioned biofeedback, and it's a term that has been around for quite a number of years, and I don't know that I fully understand the process. So, and I know you can use biofeedback, as you mentioned, to heal oneself from illness and another application. So just give me a brief little synopsis of what biofeedback really is.
Sure, yeah. So, biofeedback generically is any sort of process where you're measuring some aspect of your physiology. It could be anything. It could be your heart rate. It could be your respiration rate, your blood pressure, or your brain waves. And you're getting feedback about what's happening. So usually it's presented on a computer screen in some way that you can see what's happening in real time with yourself. And so, you know, that's most of us, if you ask somebody what kind of brainwave state they were in, they would have no idea. But if you present it to them on a computer screen and show them what their brain is doing, they can learn to shift that state to whatever is desired. And then it becomes sort of a reward process. If you reward the brain for doing certain things, it'll do it more. And so, so that's sort of that's the short story. And they do use this for. I mean, certainly we use it for treatment for mental health concerns. But people do use it as a way to like enhance meditation, things like that. Like if we know the way that the brain behaves during certain types of meditation, you can reward that while you're meditating and sort of, you know, to help you stay in that state. And so from an individual perspective, there may be a way to use it to help somebody with their skill. If they've already got some skill and we know what happens, there may be a way to help them enhance that. But I don't know that you could train it into somebody.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't seem inconceivable to me that you could use the process of biofeedback to enhance intuitive abilities. If we think of the brain as a receiver instead of a generator of consciousness, and you can train yourself to sort of light up those areas of the brain that receive intuitive information, that process could work when we talk about intuitiveness.
I agree, and I think particularly if there were some additional practices happening, so if there were some other practices that the person was already using to help them tune in, and then were engaging in those practices while they were getting the feedback, you know, that's where I feel like the power would be. Because then basically you've got sort of two layers of support kind of helping you in that direction.
Mm. Now, Janet, I, of course, I mentioned your languages before, and we don't want to go into a very long narrative, but it's part of who you are. But we do want people to come to the conference in San Diego to learn all about it. So why don't you give us a little tidbit or synopsis about the language and, you know, how it came about and your reaction to it.
Okay. Basically, I was having a lot of experiences, and they were getting to be kind of, I was having overload of maybe psychic experiences, and I didn't know how to turn it off. You know how they always say, turn it on, turn it off? And I couldn't turn it off, and so I started looking for help, and I eventually ended up at a place where they were doing holotropic breathworks, and so I decided to try that. And it's basically a breathing technique and to evocative music, and it's supposed to take you where you need to go. Well, doing that, it actually, you know, I started spontaneously speaking the language after I went a second time, and from there, I took a journey to find out where the languages were coming from, and that was quite a journey. How's that for short?
that was a an interesting journey.
Well, if you get the whole story in Janet's book.
Yeah, Janet's
book. That's right. Or when you go to the conference, I'll be happy to share it. And it is a really interesting journey. I mean, it was very long, and you have to remember there were a lot of ups and downs with people, you know, encountering different people and telling them about the language. And that kind of makes the journey a little, you know, more rocky.
Right. And, you know, it was interesting. I mentioned that we sat with the physical medium this past weekend. And what was interesting is that for him to get into trance, he uses the holotropic breathwork technique.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's really interesting.
I was familiar with that from, you know, from your stories. So, so Jeff, you hear, I mean, what was your not professional, but just your human reaction the first time that you heard Janet speak these languages?
I mean, that's a good question. You know, because I don't know. You know, because I was a little bit, I wasn't in a professional role. I mean, we were doing this, you know, as friends, but I was trying to keep a level of professional distance because I didn't want to influence anything, and I didn't want to give away any cues to Janet of what I might be seeing on the screen or anything like that. You know, I was trying to stay as neutral as possible. I guess I was kind of surprised because I wasn't sure what to expect, and I just wasn't sure what to expect, and it sounded so fluid and natural that there was really no way for me to personally doubt the, you know, the truth of what was happening. And so it was a little surprising because, you know, I didn't know what to expect, and it was so fluid and easy for her to manifest. And again, I didn't know, it was like, oh, is this a process, and you have to sort of go into a state, and you know, it's going to take 15 minutes or something, and it was not the case at all, and it was just very easy and spontaneous. And I think probably surprised is probably the best adjective.
Yeah, not as surprised as Janet was when she started speaking.
Exactly. Although Dr. Tarrant was extremely professional, and I was very nervous when I first met him, and all I could think of is, I hope he doesn't think I'm some nut, you know? And
right.
So I was probably more nervous than anybody, you know?
Yeah, but you're used to that. You know, I mean, as a, you already had a career as a medium, so half the world thought you were nuts anyways, right?
Right. And now I have this to add to it, you know?
I was just curious, you know, because I could just see, you know, Jeff, when it's the first time he heard it, thinking to himself, all right, am I really hearing this, or is this just a bunch of bull, you know? You question, because it's so outside of your realm of thinking that it's natural to question, you know, the same way that I questioned physical mediumship, you know, initially, because it's not anything that I experienced before. But I guess, as you explained, Jeff, you look very calm about it, and you maintain your composure.
I did, and again, I mean, you know, the way that Janet does it, it's so fluid and natural that it's hard not to, just feel like it's a very easy and natural thing. It doesn't feel contrived at all. And I think that's what struck me, was it's like, oh wow, okay, this is the real deal.
Okay. Well, we have been talking with Janet Mayer and Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to continue a discussion about Dr. Tarrant's work and Janet's languages and meditation and mediumship. So stay with us, and we will be back in a few.
Don't miss Forever Family Foundation's 7th Annual Conference Weekend, November 9th and 10th, this year in warm and sunny San Diego, California. In Search of the Afterlife, Experiencing, Communicating, Connecting to Another World, is designed for general audiences interested in learning about evidence of an afterlife. Attendees will be treated to cutting-edge presentations of evidence that we survive our physical deaths, as well as demonstrations of spirit communication by certified mediums. Add on the optional Friday night fundraiser dinner featuring medium Kim Russo, host of The Haunting of TV show, and stay an extra day for Media Monday. For more information, visit www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
Victor and Wendy Zammit, researchers of the afterlife for over 30 years, have released their new book, A Lawyer Presents the Evidence for the Afterlife, What Really Happens When We Die. It has received rave reviews and is a comprehensive look at all of the evidence, including physical mediumship, near-death experiences, deathbed visions, after-death contacts, reincarnation, and a host of other phenomena that will prove that we are much more than our physical bodies. To learn more or to sign up for their free newsletter, visit www.victorzammit.com. That's www.victorzammit.com.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Our guests tonight are Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant and research medium Janet Mayer. Our sponsor is the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at www.windbridge.org. And I'd just like to make a small correction on information I gave out earlier in the show. Janet Mayer, who is one of our guests tonight, was the guest medium on Signs of Life Radio's Mediums and Messages in August. And in September, the guest medium will be Kim Russo. So just to correct that, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or you could call the office at 631-425-7707. And I want to let you know there are three ways to show us that you like Signs of Life Radio. You can, one, go to the Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and like us. Two, you can use the donate button on any one of our weekly email show reminders to support programming. There's also a space to add a comment on what you love and what you don't like so much about the show. And three, remember us when you shop. Yes, when you shop, you can support the work of our 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you will need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time that card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for in their more than 1,300 online stores like Bloomingdale's, Best Western, Nike, QVC, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our 7th annual Afterlife Conference will be held this year in beautiful and warm San Diego, California, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Golf Resort on November 9th and 10th. Mark the dates, as this will be the best one ever. Make your plans now for the Friday night banquet featuring Kim Russo, star of the hit TV series The Haunting of. She'll be our keynote presenter, bringing through communication from the other side. Then the conference begins early Saturday morning through Sunday evening, including featured presentations by Tom and Lisa Butler of the Association Transcommunication, Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant, demonstrating brain changes in the medium during communication, research medium Janet Mayer, Dr. Stephen E. Browdy, Dr. Evan Alexander, and Lloyd Auerbach with spirit communication demonstrations from certified mediums Laura Lynn Jackson and Angelina Diana. And as a special add-on this year, we bring you Medium Monday. So check the website for registration information now. Our Holidays Past raffle is in full swing. You might want to get in while the number assignments are still low, since a computer program will pull the winners by assigned numbers. The mediums in this raffle are Dave Campbell, Eliza Ray, Nancy Marlowe, Tracy Lee Nash, and Catherine Nadal. It's just $5 a chance. And back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Janet Mayer and Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant. You know, Janet, most people that were studied that exhibit xenoglossy or suddenly being able to speak a language that was previously unknown to them, they can only do that by going into trance and or some sort of an altered state of consciousness. And I think Dr. Jeff mentioned earlier that it's not even clear. You're not typical because you don't have to do that. So, I mean, if I ask you to speak a little bit of the language now, you can just instantly do it?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
There, how's that?
Pretty good.
You just never know what you're going to get. It sounds different. You know, a lot of times it's different. Sometimes it's the same. You just never know.
Yeah. And do you, I mean, you've been speaking the language now for quite a number of years. Do you get more of a inner feeling about what the words say? I mean, obviously you don't know what you're saying, but I know that the words sometimes have some sort of a texture or a feel to them.
Right. Just from speaking it like just now, I mean, they were definitely saying they had something important that they wanted to say, and it was almost like I could hear in my head, "You don't have much time. Say it fast." So it was like pushing through me really quick. And I could just feel that really quick. But, you know, there's times where, you know, it'll come through spontaneously on its own, really forceful. And to me, then I know it's a warning. And that mainly happened over the years. I could tell when it would happen. Shortly after that, there would be something around me that would take place. So I would, it's kind of like getting a heads up, you know, from the other side. But then there's also times when I speak it in, you know, especially if I'm looking at someone, and if there's something that happens between us, I can almost feel like they're saying a blessing or a prayer to them, or they're talking to them almost on a deeper level. I can't even explain it, but it just, it feels that way to me. And it's almost as if the words are being said and somehow, you know, people will understand it even when they don't understand the words. And I can do that, you know, when I'm speaking to myself, I feel that way.
Right, and for people that read the book, I mean, spirits, they are present. I mean, you go into great detail. You know, these tapes were actually translated, and indeed you were speaking poetry and ancient wisdom. So it's not just a feeling that you have. It's been verified by, you know, independent sources. Janet, do you think that the languages would have emerged if you had not been a medium? You ever wonder about that?
Yeah, I do wonder about that. But I kind of feel like there has been something going on all my life, and I feel like almost the mediumship and the psychic ability kind of propelled me to that level to allowing the languages to emerge. It's almost as if it was there all along, but I just couldn't tap into it. And I kind of think the holotropic breathwork kind of opened it up for me, or just allowed me to let go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, Dr. Jeff, you also mentioned, or I don't know if you mentioned it or I read about it on your website, but neuromeditation. What is neuromeditation?
Well, I kind of referred to it a little bit earlier in the conversation today. So basically, it's using, you know, using some of the biofeedback, the EEG biofeedback, to give you signals about your brainwave activity while you're meditating. So you can use that to help you to move into a deeper state of consciousness. And there's various ways to do that. One of the ways I've been working with more recently is getting somebody into a meditative state independent of the feedback and recording what's doing and having them signal me just by, like, lifting a finger or something when they feel like they're in a deep state, and then using that as their own baseline so then I can train them back to that specific place where they feel like they were really in the zone, they were really in their meditative place. So I can use that as sort of the baseline to where I'm training them back to, if that makes sense. It's hard to convey without sort of seeing what some of this looks like.
Yeah, I think there's been also some work, and I don't know if you get into it at all or you have plans for it, but as you're studying people that are in these meditative states, whether or not they exhibit any enhanced intuitive ability. I mean, one theory is that people do. I mean, there's some research that shows that people under hypnosis have enhanced ability. So I wonder if the same is true for meditation. Or I don't even know if you have a protocol that could measure that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about a specific way to. Well, let me change the way we're sort of talking about it. There is a specific protocol that we use sometimes, and actually it is something that we use for different types of mental health treatment. It's called an alpha theta protocol, and the whole point of it is to kind of help somebody get into a state that I think is very similar to a hypnotic state. It's a very deep state of consciousness where you kind of dip down below the surface and then kind of come back up and dip back down and come back up. And what seems to happen for a lot of people when they are able to ride that wave is that some of that subconscious, unconscious material surfaces. And so, you know, I think that's where some of this kind of blends together, where, you know, people are able to tap into some things that, you know, even wisdom about themselves that they don't normally have access to, and they'll come out of this, you know, sort of session with kind of a different understanding about themselves, you know, because they've kind of dipped into something bigger.
So after witnessing all of this in your patients and research subjects, I mean, do you personally meditate?
Oh, yes. Yes, I meditate and do Qigong and Tai Chi pretty much every day.
Really?
Yes.
Now, Tai Chi I'm familiar with because Fran does it, but Qigong I know has been studied since ancient times, right? I mean, tell us a little bit about that.
Qigong and Tai Chi are related, basically. That you know, Qigong is probably like a broader umbrella. It's generally slow movements, breathing techniques, visualizations that are geared toward moving the energy through the body, connecting with you know, the earth and the heavens and the universal energy, and moving that through the body in a way that promotes health and well-being. And if you're doing Tai Chi the correct way, the correct in quotes, if you're doing it with the right intention, you are. It is Qigong. It's the same thing. It just looks a little bit different. Tai Chi can also be a martial art, you know. So,
right. Janet, do you meditate? I mean, not when I'm not talking about when you're about to do mediumship, but just in your personal life. And if you do, what, you know, does that somehow open you up to spirit communication?
Yes, I do meditate, and I don't meditate daily. I usually take a couple days off, or sometimes I'll meditate every day in a row, and then I feel a whole lot of energy, so then I slow down. But I often do when I meditate. I usually I ask, you know, of course, like any spirit guides or white light around me to come to me, in the, you know, any spirit guides. And sometimes I'll ask people that I know that are on the other side. If they want to, you know, show up, they can. Or if, you know, a teacher needs to appear, you know, give me some kind of sign. And I'm really big on asking for signs. And I really believe that if you get signs, you know, you always say thank you, and you're opening yourself up for more. And so when I meditate, I try to be open and allow, you know, the universal energy to come through. And if there's anything I need to know for that day, a lot of times I'll do that. If I need to know something today, please allow me to be aware of it so that I can deal with it, you know, on whatever level I need to. So I do meditate a lot. Sometimes, you know, I'll just meditate in different rooms. I'll have an odd feeling, and I'll just want to go in a different room and meditate. So, you know, I'm not structured to just one spot, and I used to be that way. I used to only go in one place in one chair, but now it's kind of wherever I just feel comfortable that day, you know, I'll meditate. But I do a lot of times get information, and, you know, I ask a lot. I it's like talking to the other side, just like I'm talking to you. And then, you know, I sit and wait for something to come through, and when it comes through, then I ask for a verification of it, and then when I watch it happen, I always say thank you. So it works out really well. But
yeah,
it also is really good because it gives me a peaceful feeling, because I'm kind of high-strung, and even like with that language coming through, my voice is still shaking from it, and it's a lot of strong energy. So when I meditate, it kind of brings me, you know, it kind of makes it even keel for me, and I that's really helpful.
Mm. Well, we have been talking with Janet Mayer and Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant. Again, Janet is the author of Spirits They Are Present. Her website is janetmayer.net. And she will be at our conference in San Diego, as will Dr. Jeff Tarrant. Dr. Jeff's website is dr.jefftarrant, which is TARRANT.com. I want to thank you both for being with us. We look forward to seeing you soon. It's coming around the corner in November. So thanks again, and we look forward to you joining us again on the radio when we can talk some more about this stuff.
Great. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Kimberly Saavedra, Lynn Cheney, Rachel S., Lenny Ficarelli, Joel Auerbach, Janice Varelli, Jeanette Davies, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Marianne Pierschka, Flora Prisco, John Borland, Stanley Mullen, Julie B., Glenna Irwin, Barbara Petillo, David Hates, Rita Springer, Eileen Lafada, Mark Varon, Wendy Lippo, Vicki Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tina Jocelyn, Deb Martin, Kim Donahue, and Francis Mastracco. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time for us to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.